Good morning, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, with a KHP for you. There are a lot of questions circulating around what we do with election mail. Well, I'm going to try to answer some of those questions for you.
Dear Mr. Policeman, please don't take my stuff. Cost me too much money and probably ain't enough to get me through election day. Didn't I hear you say it's all right, it's all right, it's all right?
It's all right, it's all right. Hey, listen, there is a major mailing out right now for a campaign mailing. And the mailing is mailed under nonprofit organization. I visit Facebook often and frequently, and I'm amazed at the questions that seem to be circulating around this nonprofit organization mailing. It's campaign mailing. Well, let me say to you, first I got to start off by saying, if you still call standard mail that can be delivered UBAMS, which was an acronym for undeliverable business bulk mail, then first of all, catch up. We haven't had UBAMS in at least 20 years. So if you're still calling it UBAMS, stop that. It's undeliverable standard mail, USM. And let's talk about that mail for a second. There is a major nonprofit organization mailing out right now for political candidates. Let me say to you, I've seen comments that this is first-class mail. I've seen comments that you can't dispose of this mail. Well, let me tell you something. The only reason some people may think this is first-class mail is because the post office puts a rush on how they process it. It's not given your standard color coding sequencing, which lets us know the day of the week it should be delivered. It's treated in the processing plant as first-class mail. When it hits the plant, they try to expedite it. That is the only first-class treatment that's given to this mail. If a mailer mails a mailing, nonprofit, I don't care if it's campaign, political, if it's nonprofit mail, that means they pay a lower price because they don't want top-level service. In other words, if you receive a nonprofit organization piece of mail for a person who has moved from your route, then the carrier is probably going to endorse that mail, UTF, unable to forward. That mail is now going to be discarded with the rest of the nonprofit mail that can't be delivered. I'm always shocked at how postal employees just seem to take things that they think make sense and put a process to it. Listen, I understand that it is a campaign mailing, but that does not give it any special treatment other than the post office just processing it earlier to that carrier and that station manager and delivery stations. There is no need to hold all that mail as if it's mail that you have to turn back into somewhere else. That nonprofit organization mail, unless there is a special directive put in place for this mail, and I check regularly and I don't think one exists, unless there's a special regulation or set of directions in place for this mail, that mail will be disposed of with all the other nonprofit organization mail that the carrier cannot effectively deliver. Now, I'm going to take a minute and try to explain a little bit about bulk mail permits. Now, again, I'm probably rusty because I haven't been in a bulk mail unit in some time. But the best I can remember, when we talk about the bulk mail permits, see, there's levels to the permit. You can get a first-class bulk mail permit then you can get a standard permit for standard mail. You can get a nonprofit organization. And you have to understand that the level that you mail your mail piece at, when I say the level, first class, standard, nonprofit, book rate, the level you mail at, there are certain services that are or are not associated with that level. For example, when we look at this nonprofit mail piece that's circulating right now, you got to understand the mailer understood that by mailing nonprofit, I'm going to pay a lot less than if I mailed at first class, even though I'm still talking about bulk mailings. So because it's going to cost me less per piece, I can mail more pieces. Now, in exchange for me mailing more pieces, that means I understand I'm going to give up the right to have that mail piece forwarded. See, there's no special endorsement on it. And the only reason I want to try to explain this is because I need postal employees to understand that you are not doing either candidate a disservice when that mail is disposed of with the rest of the nonprofit organization rate of mail. I mean, does that make sense? So I want you to understand, it's not about which candidate you support. And notice, I'm not leaning either way on this podcast. But if you catch me on one of my other shows, there's no doubt where I am. But I'm simply saying, if a candidate wants to do a mailing at a nonprofit rate, that means the candidate will be happy putting out 1,000 mail pieces as opposed to 500, understanding that it's a good possibility that some of those pieces are not going to be delivered. But because the rate was cheaper, I put so much more out that I'm going to cover a wider area. So postal employees, remember, when that nonprofit piece of mail comes to your route and you can't effectively deliver it, so you go ahead and carrier endorse it, and that lets your supervisor know you've looked at that piece of mail. It didn't get stuck to something else. And that mail is designed or slated to be disposed of in whichever manner that group of mail is normally disposed of. And when I say disposed of, let me rephrase disposed of and let's just say moved forward. Because, again, if you normally take the time to research the address of a person who's moved for a nonprofit piece of mail to forward that piece to that person, then you should continue to do that right now. But I'm pretty sure there are no routes. There are no routes that I can think of that write that extra time into your day's work. So I was being facetious, but if it's nonprofit, just let it go. And the supervisors who feel they have to collect, save, send to the Postal Inspection Service, you might want to call them first, because I'm hearing a lot of people are on that level as far as it, they won't allow that piece to be disposed of. They want to keep it and send it to the inspection service. Well, I don't speak for the inspection service, but after about maybe 10, 15 managers collect that mail and send it to them, I'm sure they'll speak for themselves. Listen, it's mail season. Candidates are battling it out, and the post office, we're stuck right in the middle because the nation has a confidence problem when it comes to the post office. So I understand no matter what happens during this mail season that lends itself to political mail of any type, everybody's antennas will be up, and I hope that's a good thing. But you have to remember, there's a set way to process mail and dispose of mail. And unless you have specific instructions coming from somewhere else, there's no need to start inventing new ways to do things. And I'm basically talking to my fellow employees. And again, I just wanted to stress that they're mailing in bulk. They understand every piece is not going to reach its destination. Now, I don't know what we're going to do as an organization to combat the nation not having any confidence in our ability. And I gotta say, it's not unfounded the reason they feel that way. You know, a lot of things have been going on. And just with respect to our Postmaster General, I only want to say, I wonder how come nobody's asking Megan Brennan any questions right now. I don't understand that, unless that's something that's happening somewhere else. Because I got to tell you, if they are holding our current Postmaster General accountable for all this shit, yo, a couple of the former Postmaster General should have to answer, how come you put it in that position when you handed it over? Or did you hand it over one way and all this changed? Then we got a different set of circumstances. But I just wondered that. We still have delivery barcode sorters in pieces on the workroom floor. I can't understand that. Just to have the machinery sitting there so the employees walk by it every day, got to be a real negative source of energy as you walk past that. I mean, because it just don't make a lot of sense, regardless of why they're there in that state. And then I would have to ask the mail processing area back there, are you still meeting your goals? I mean, are you as efficient now as you were when you had them? Because if that's we're holding our own, then maybe you didn't need them. And that's not a bad thing, because you should find now that at least every time you ask to operate the delivery barcode sorter, there's two people. So the fact that they reduced the equipment kind of forced them to be, I would think, a little more in compliance with the fact that delivery barcode sorters are not supposed to be ran by one person. Just something to think about. And just while we're on the subject of empty equipment or unuseful or not being used equipment on the workroom floor, maintenance. What is going on the corner by the apps? I see all these gigantic sprockets, and looks like you could rebuild the apps repair kit, but it's just sitting there. And it's been there for quite some time. If you're not going to use it, well, if you move that from there, that may be a little additional storage space that we could put some of those priority packages and not have to travel so far to get them. I'm just going to put that in the atmosphere. I hope everyone has an outstanding day. This is Kenny Hodge on the Ken Hodge Postal Podcast.